A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Rosh Hashanah Lamed Hey, Rosh Hashanah 35, pagination, page 69, the final page of Rosh Hashanah. I'd like to start off with the word Siddur, which is generally translated as prayer book. And the question is, where did a prayer book come to be called a Siddur? Siddur, from the word Seder, we know from the Pesach Seder, means order. It means that things are in an orderly fashion. And how does a prayer book come to mean that? So if you look at the first of the wide lines, at the middle of the line, the smaller of the wide lines, Amar Rabbi Lozer said, "Le'olam yisader adam tefiloso va'acha kach yispalo." A person should be mesader, should organize his prayers, and then he can pray. In other words, there are different ways to say things, different orders sometimes in the tefillah, but most particularly different words, the sequence of words and what you're going to say. And therefore, a person should think it through. He should be mesader it before he starts. The concept is a simple one. If you're presenting a speech in front of an honored audience, so you want to make sure that you've reviewed your thoughts before you present, so that it should go smoothly. Omer Rabbi Abba says, "Mistavra milsa de Rabbi Lozer bevaracha shal Rosh Hashanah v'shal Yom Kippurim v'shal Prokim." It makes sense that Rabbi Lozer was only talking about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and holidays. Aval dechal Hashanah lo. But if you're talking about every prayer during the year, you don't have to be mesader before you start. You could go straight in because you're familiar with the speech. And you don't have to be mesader beforehand. Asks the Gemara, "Eini." That's not really true. V'ha Rav Yehuda mesader tzloseyu matzli. We know that Rav Yehuda organized his prayer and then he davened. Shiny Rav Yehuda kevin de mitlosin yomin letlosin yomin av amasli kiprokim domi. Since Rav Yehuda only davened once in 30 days, formal tefillah, he had a special dispensation which is referred to as the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'chaverov dispensation, that they learn Torah so intensely without any distractions at all, that even though they have to recite Shema because that's biblical, when it comes to formulated prayer, besides asking Hashem for something each day, but formulated prayer to actually say the Shemona Esrei as we do, they're absolved. They have this unique status, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai v'chaverov, this high level of scholarship, which, by the way, does not exist today. We do not go with that dispensation. But there was such a thing, and Rav Yehuda qualified, and therefore, since it took him 30 days to review all of his learning each month, and then he would daven a tefillah, and then he would go back into his cycle of very intense learning. So when he would daven, it was considered like a holiday-type davening. It was kiprokim. And therefore, he had to organize his tefillah because it was an infrequent thing for him. Whereas us, that same prayer, the daily prayer, we do it every day. And therefore, we would not be obligated to be misader, to organize it before we pray because of its frequency and familiarity. There's an interesting question if Rosh Chodesh, which was noticeably omitted from our Gemara, is included in this rule or is not included in this rule. And there's a very sweet presentation of this topic in the Sefer HaTodah, Rabbi Elio Kitov, in the month of Mar Cheshvan, where he writes that normally Rosh Chodesh occurs within 29 days of each other, and therefore you have not gone as far as Rav Yehuda, which was 30 days. And therefore he says one can argue that Rosh Chodesh is still considered shagur b'fiv, fluent in a person's mouth and his memory, and he doesn't have to be mesaderit, he could go straight into the tefilas musaf of Rosh Chodesh. But in the month of Mar Cheshvan, since you're going 2 months without having said the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, from the time that you said it last, which was Rosh Chodesh Elul, you did the entire month of Elul until Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you did not daven the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. We had a different Musaf for you to daven. And therefore, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, when you daven Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, again, it's more than 30 days since your last reciting that Shmona Esrei, that type of Shmona Esrei. And therefore, you're included in this rule of Rav Yehuda, who, if it's more than 30 days, if it's 30 days or more, you would have to be mesada, you would have to organize your tefillah. Now, does that mean that we all go ahead before Shmona Esrei and look it over and are mesaderit? And the answer typically is no, rightly or wrongly. I mean, rightly or wrongly, it would certainly be better to look it over. But are you obligated to look it over? The answer is that we rely on the Sidur. Since we're not doing it from memory, so it's not required to organize it and think through what are you going to say at each moment after which paragraph. We have a Siddur. If you find the place in the Siddur, you can rely that the Siddur is going to guide you throughout the prayer. And therefore, presumably, the Siddur is called a Siddur because it enables us to fulfill this obligation of yasdir, of organizing the tefillah before we start. It's organized, and it's fulfilling that concept of organization. The Mishneh Berurah mentions in Siman Kuf, Sifkatan Gimel, that when it comes to piyutim, the special, more sophisticated texts in Shmona Esrei, or in davening, then just having a siddur isn't enough. A person has to actually look it over beforehand because the text is so sophisticated and requires translation so that we know what we're going to be saying. I've heard from a great Rosh Yeshiva, he said that when the art scroll Slichus came out, he spent a lot of time with it because that's an example of this Mishneh Berurah, that piyutim, that the more sophisticated wordings, it's not just whether you say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, which text, and basically it's straightforward Hebrew. If you know the text, you know what you're saying. It's really sophisticated wording, and therefore it is appropriate to be mesader beforehand to think it through and organize one's thoughts. The second part of this Gemara, finishing off the Masechta, is a statement that Poter Hoya Rabban Gamliel Am Shebesados. Rabbi Gamliel absolved the people who were out of the shul. They were not listening to the Shliach Tzibur recite the Shmona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. They were illiterate. They were not davening on their own either. And Rabbi Gamliel used to say, don't bother them. They're included in the Shliach Tzibur's davening. They're anisi. They're desperate, so to speak. They have no choice. They're simply included. They don't know how to daven, and they're not able to come to shul because of the proximity of wherever they lived. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel taught that they are included in the Shliach Tzibur's davening. This lends great insight into a statement which is made by the Mechaber, Siman Kuf Chaf Dalet Seif Zayin, where he says that a person who shows disrespect to the Shliach Tzibur's review is a chote, he's a sinner, and gadol avono minaso, his sin is too great to bear. So there is such a thing as a person who doesn't know how to daven to pay attention to every word that the Shliach Tzibur says, follow along, and just like by Kiddush we could fulfill our obligation by listening, so here also a person can fulfill his obligation by listening. But that's not what Rabbi Gamliel was referring to. Rabbi Gamliel went a whole step further and said that you are including the people who are not there if they're not capable of davening. And it would make sense that regarding those people and that type of Chazoras HaShatz, the Mechaber is referring to the Tfilas HaTzibur is Godal Avono Minaso, and the reason is simple. At first glance, the wording is very harsh. When Cain killed Hevel, he says to Hashem, Godal Avoni Minaso, is my sin too great to bear? And when the Mechaber refers to disrespect for the Chazoras HaShatz, he says, yeah, Godal Avono Minaso, your sin is too great to bear. What's the connection, and why is Chazoras HaShatz even harsher to show disrespect? And the reason seems to be because Cain destroyed a great portion of humanity's potential. He killed his brother when the world was first beginning. And that was the destruction of infinite unknown goodness. Tremendous amount of potential was destroyed when he killed Hevel. Likewise, a person who's disrespectful to the Tfilas HaTzibur, to the Shliach Tzibur's words that according to Rabbi Gamliel are going to absolve people who can't daven of their obligation. It's going to fulfill their obligation. This is their prayer. People who are in the hospital and can't daven, people who are housebound, ill, elderly, because of their work situation, they can't come to a shul, they're just located far away. All of these people are included in the Shliach Tzibur's davening, and a person who doesn't show respect for it diminishes the effectiveness of that davening. And it is an extreme example of the destruction of an infinite unknown goodness, things that we can't even appreciate, just as Cain killed and destroyed to an extent that he could not even appreciate. We should be zocha to use the siddur wisely, and we should be zocha that the Tfilas HaTzibur should in fact fulfill all the things that as individuals we were not able to fulfill, whether it's because we didn't have the proper intent or because they're people who can't daven and are relying knowingly or unknowingly on that public prayer that the leader recites. We should be zocha that all these tefillas should be fulfilled litova, for good. Hadron Aloch Maseches Rosh Hashanah. We look forward to the opportunity to doing the Masechta more thoroughly. Yeshe Koach, thank you.